In this episode, I'm going to cover 8 needs and expectations in a relationship that are unrealistic. Welcome to the Dr. Wyatt Show, where developing a long-lasting, happy relationship is the status symbol to achieve, and following my tools is one path to help get you there. I'm your host, Dr. Wyatt Fisher, a licensed psychologist specializing in couples counseling. If you want to take your communication to a whole nother level, download my app, Keep the Glow KTG, wherever you get your apps. And be sure to follow me on social at Dr. Wyatt Fisher. So today I'm talking about 8 needs and expectations in a relationship that are unrealistic. What happens when we have unrealistic expectations? We get demoralized. We get frustrated. We give up. Not surprisingly, the same principle applies in the workforce. Research shows when there is an unrealistic job description, when it's not accurate, people get hired thinking their job is going to be one way because they have certain expectations, but then the reality is something different. And when that occurs, it increases turnover rate. Therefore, having realistic job descriptions is very important because that lowers turnover. The same can be said in marriage. If you don't have realistic expectations for your relationship, that's going to be a problem. That's going to increase your likelihood of wanting to end the relationship because you're not starting with realistic expectations. So today I'm going to cover 8 needs and expectations in a relationship that are unrealistic. The first one is marriage shouldn't take work. Are you guilty of this? This is Disney. This is Hollywood inundating our thoughts where we think marriage shouldn't take work. Relationships shouldn't take work. Are you kidding me? They're supposed to be effortless. Hear me clearly. Falling in love is effortless. Staying in love takes effort. So it's unrealistic to think we're just going to stay in love. We're not going to have to put any work into this. No efforts required. That's unrealistic. You have been inundated and brainwashed with Disney and Hollywood because that's what we see. We watch sitcoms, we watch programs, we watch movies, and it's effortless. But remember, it's effortless because they're just falling in love. That is effortless. You don't have to try. It just happens. But that's a different stage of the relationship. In order to stay in love, that takes effort. Number 2, we shouldn't have to see somebody. Are you guilty of that? You've gone through hard times in your relationship and you're thinking, we shouldn't have to see somebody. We should be able to figure this out. Why do you think that? Because it's very unrealistic. You have not been trained on how to be a good partner. You have not been trained on how to have a successful relationship. Yet, you think, we shouldn't have to see somebody. What's wrong with us? We should figure this out on our own. What makes people think that? Part of it might be pride. Part of it might be embarrassment of going to a counselor or a coach, but it's unrealistic. You go to a mechanic for your car, the dentist for your teeth, the plumber for your toilet, go to a couples counselor or a couples coach for your relationship. That's what they're there for. And we have not been trained. Therefore, it's unrealistic to think you're not going to have to see somebody when you go through tough times. Number 3, you should meet my needs even when I'm not meeting yours. That's an expectation in a relationship a lot of people have. We often get so hyper-focused on getting our needs met that we forget to focus on, are we meeting our partner's needs? So a lot of people have this unrealistic expectation that you should be meeting my needs even when I'm not meeting yours. It doesn't work like that. Your partner is not going to want to meet your needs unless you're meeting their needs as well. That creates that spirit of generosity where I'm meeting your needs, you're meeting my needs, back and forth. But a lot of people who get into committed relationships and marriage get self-focused. They get self-absorbed. And all they think about is me, meeting my needs. I need this. I need that. And they're not thinking about, what do you need? How well am I doing meeting your needs? Meet your partner's needs first. And then it's realistic to think that they're going to meet your needs. Number 4, if we fall out of love, it's over. Do you have that thought in your head? Because love is this magical thing. It's this mysterious, nebulous, beautiful thing. Therefore, if we fall out of love, game's over, right? Or wrong? It's wrong because love comes and goes. You may love your partner, but the in-love feelings come and go throughout the duration of a marriage. It's just natural. You're going to go through fall. You're going to go through winter, You're going to go through spring. You're going to go through summer. You're going to go through the seasons. It's natural. Love ebbs and flows. So if you start feeling out of love, it doesn't mean game over. It just means we're going into winter. We must have taken our eye off the ball. We stopped meeting each other's needs somewhere along the line. We let resentments creep in, and now we have walls. That's what it means. So therefore, the antidote when you're not feeling in love is we have to work through our resentments. We have to build our friendship, and then we have to start tending to each other's needs again so that we can fall back in love. So what is realistic is that you can fall back in love. A lot of people don't think that that's possible, but it is. I'm living proof of that. My wife and I started off madly in love. Then we went through a significant rough stretch for several years, which made us both fall out of love. And then we worked through our resentments. We rebuilt our friendship. And eventually, we fell back in love. I'm living proof that it can happen. Number five, accept all of me, even the parts of me that hurt you. Do you have that unrealistic expectation in your relationship? I want you to just accept me. Accept all of me, even though parts of me hurt you. Parts of me neglect your needs. Parts of me frustrate you. That's unrealistic. Now, obviously, we all want to feel unconditionally loved, but that doesn't mean your partner is going to unconditionally love your behavior. Think about children for a second. When they misbehave, what do we say? You're supposed to say, I love you, I just don't love that behavior. That's what you're supposed to say as an ideal parent. But we have this unrealistic expectation of our partner. I want you just to accept all of me. I want you to love all of me, regardless if some of me hurts you and neglects you. That's unrealistic. So if you have parts of you that hurts your partner, parts of you that neglects your partner, parts of you that doesn't meet your partner's needs, don't expect them to accept those parts of you. They're going to want you to change. They're going to want you to work on those things, and you should, so that you are becoming a better partner. You want to make those compromises. You want to move forward. You want to work on yourself so that you are becoming a better version of yourself. Number six, if you loved me, you'd be attracted to me no matter what my waist size is. This is a common unrealistic expectation. I just did a previous episode on that last week. We had this expectation that if you really loved me, my waist size wouldn't matter. You would still be just as attracted to me if I was 400 pounds or if I was 40 pounds. Your attraction to me should not matter if you really loved me. That's unrealistic, because attraction is automatic. Attraction is instinctual. Attraction is biological. So you may love your partner no matter how they look, but it doesn't mean you're going to be attracted to them no matter how they look. And I shared in the previous episode my story with this, where I went through a phase a couple years ago where I had gained some weight. My waist had gotten bigger than it had ever been, and my wife was commenting on how I didn't have my six-pack anymore. And initially, I dismissed her comment and kind of blew it off, but she was not feeling as attracted to me because I had lost my six-pack. I had gained some weight around my midsection. And right after that, I learned that my blood sugar had gotten a little bit higher. And so that was really a wake-up call. So I doubled down on my exercise. I doubled down on how I eat. And after about a year or 2 years of really changing my habits, my six-pack came back. And so I took it serious, even though initially I didn't. So if your partner says they still love you, but they're just not as attracted to you, try not to get your feelings hurt. Remember, it's biological, and be thankful that they're communicating this to you, and try to take their feedback to heart so that you become motivated to become a healthier version of yourself. Number seven, we shouldn't have to discuss resentments. Just get over it. Are you guilty of that? Your partner comes to you with a resentment and they're like, hey, I want to talk about something, or something that you did a couple years ago really is still hurting my feelings, or something that happened a while back and I never brought it up, but I want to talk about it now. Are you guilty of saying to them, what? I'm not going to talk through any resentment in the past. Get over it. Just get over it. What's the big deal? Get over it. Are you guilty of that? That's wrong. That's unrealistic. If your partner has resentments toward you, which they probably do, because long-term relationships almost always have resentments. If they have resentments toward you, it's unrealistic to ask them or expect them to just get over it. That's not going to happen. If a river represents love and you want the water in that river to flow stronger, what do? You walk upstream and you remove the logs, you remove the rocks, you remove the boulders, and only then can the water flow more strongly. Well, that debris upstream that's blocking the water, that's your resentments. That's your partner's resentments, because the love can't flow in your relationship when there's active resentments. So don't ask your partner to get over it. Don't think they're going to get over it. The only way to get over it is to work through the resentments. Often, you have to go backwards before you can start going forwards in your relationship. Number 8, our relationship should survive even if we're not having regular emotional and sexual intimacy. It should survive anyway. It should just make it no matter what. Wrong. That's unrealistic. Those are usually the top two needs in a relationship, in a marriage: emotional intimacy and sexual intimacy. If either of those top needs are neglected and they're ignored and they're put on a shelf and just never talked about, never tended to, your relationship may not make it, because that's a top need for at least one of you in the relationship. Normally, one partner has a top need for emotional intimacy, and they're usually married to someone with a top need for sexual intimacy. Both of those are valid needs. Those needs breathe life into your relationship. They breathe oxygen into your connection. And without tending to both of those top needs on a regular basis, your relationship may not make it. Because if you're the one who's feeling deprived, that starts feeling like neglect. And neglect falls under the umbrella of abuse. And they may start feeling like they can't tolerate this anymore, especially if they bring it up to you and you dismiss it, you scoff at it, you ignore their need. The next step for them usually is to see a counselor with you or a coach. And if you still won't change, the next step is to get a separation. Because otherwise, at that point, if they stay with you, they're just enabling your neglect. So it's unrealistic to think that your marriage can survive while consistently neglecting emotional and sexual intimacy. So those are 8 things that are unrealistic in a relationship. Number 1 is marriage shouldn't take work. Number 2 is we shouldn't have to see somebody. Number 3, you should meet my needs even when I'm not meeting yours. Number 4, if we fall out of love, it's over. Number 5, you should accept all of me, even the parts of me that hurt you. Number 6, if you love me, you'd be attracted to me regardless of my waist size. Number 7, we shouldn't have to discuss any resentments from the past, just get over it. And number 8, our relationship should survive without regular emotional and sexual intimacy. Thank you for listening to the Dr. Wyatt Show. If you're on YouTube, be sure to leave a comment and subscribe for more. If you're listening to my podcast, be sure to leave a review so I can hear what you think. Also, be sure to go to my website, drwyattfisher.com/pages/freebies, for my free PDF on this episode so you can download it and discuss further with your partner. And if you're ready to take your relationship to the next level, join my Marriage Saver Society, MSS. Marriage Saver Society is my leading digital course that you can watch from the comfort of your living room. In it, I'm going to walk you through my top 6 steps to marital satisfaction. You're going to learn all my tools, all my strategies, and it comes with 4 sessions with one of my master coaches for you to have individualized support. To learn more, the link is in the description. And remember, your marriage is alive. If you care for it and nurture it, it will grow. But if you deprive it and neglect it, it will wilt and die. The choice is up to you.